This is Ultima Context, a podcast made by Ultima Festival of Contemporary Music in Oslo. A series of talks and sound portraits taking you deeper into the music.
This is, I guess you could say effectively, this is the launch of Ultima 2020. So thanks for coming in advance of the first concert. Welcome to you all, and also welcome to those of you listening to the Ultima Context podcast, which is a new initiative we've started this year, which we'll talk a bit more about later on. My name's Rob Young. I'm going to be hosting this talk about the festival with Ultima Artistic Director Torbjørn Tønder Hansen, also with Anne-Marthe Sørli Holen from the group Penguins, and with Sandeep Bhagwati, a composer whose work Oslo Musics is being premiered tomorrow. And, well, let's get straight into it. I mean, 2020, quite the year, I think you can say. I think it's fair to say that back in March, it wasn't very clear even whether it would be possible to host a festival in September. The way ahead looked extremely uncertain when the pandemic started to really strike. Torbjørn, can you tell us a bit about that sort of what the year has meant for you, and maybe give some idea of, you know, what was the thinking for the festival before any of this happened, and how have you had to adapt your thinking over the months in such a climate of uncertainty?
Yeah, first of all, thanks for coming. It's fantastic to now have a physical situation with a stage and an audience, and we will continue in there with the music later. So it's really, 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 really nice to be into the festival modus now. We were well underway with the big plans of national and international productions and co-productions, and the project that we had to cancel with the Norwegian Soloist Choir and Birgitte Mundendorf and Stephanie Thiers was a co-production with Rotonada that we've been talking about for 4 years. so that was the biggest one, but I think what happened in March was this slow realization that it's actually coming to Norway and Europe. It's not just something out in the far Orient that will pass and then we can continue. So when that kind of happened, you know, I was in Bergen for the Borealis Festival, which I think not only for contemporary music, but also for the festival landscape in Norway at large, was one of the very last physical events that actually took place. And 2 weeks later, we were thinking, okay, should we cancel? Should we go on? And in the beginning, there was this optimism that, okay, it's really a great pity for those having events in spring, but then summer will come and everything will be fine. That was the first thought. And then came the idea, okay, we may need to go all digital this year. You know, when Ny Musik did their only connect from a safe distance digitally, we were thinking, okay, maybe we would need to do that. And we started thinking and getting inspiration from digital ways of working. But in the back of my mind, and also in the festival team's mind, was actually, okay, the greatest wish of all that we have is to be able to present a physical festival in whatever form we can do that. And that started kind of taking a route in mid-April after Easter, I think, when things seemed to be loosening up, where there was some little tiny rope of optimism that we could catch. So we were thinking, okay, we need the physical space for music is what we're here for. Of course, we shouldn't be sort of conservative and say that we will not investigate possible digital formats also. And of course, we will, and we have. But most importantly, I think, was not to cancel anything, to postpone as little as we could, and then start the adaptation of each project, dialogue by dialogue. How can we do this project without canceling, without postponing? What is possible? Some were not possible to do. That was quite quickly the case. We had to skip it to next year. But I think, I haven't counted, but it's maybe one or two, max three concerts that are kind of canceled and won't happen next year. The rest are kind of a combination of adaptations for this year and then hopeful postponements for the future.
I mean, very often the whole Ultima Festival is programmed with a kind of curatorial theme behind it. That's kind of been a tradition for many years in the festival. Do you want to talk a bit about how you were thinking thematically in the beginning and whether that remained some kind of red thread, or whether the sort of there was in a way such a bombardment of themes from the outside world that in a sense it becomes impossible to hold to one idea?
Yeah, we had this emerging theme coming. I mean, the way I personally work with themes, they come kind of after the project, and then there's some intuitive idea of how things are connected, which also, of course, is there from the beginning, but it's not sort of very didactic. This is a theme, let's find the projects. It's more the other way around. But there was this idea of a freedom social theme. We had lots of projects where it was very much about collaboration within the project, but also inviting audience in, merging with the performers, creating a kind of free, open situation in spaces like this. Also, the social aspect of reaching out to new people who had not maybe hitherto been presented and represented on stage in Ultima, like Sandeep's project on Tomorrow, Sofia Jernberg involving children's choirs with children from various backgrounds in Oslo and so on. And in the beginning, it seemed like maybe a little bit like what Anna Marta can say about her Music and Health project, that this title was invented before Corona, and suddenly it seemed like a very very fitting theme. The freedom social was also there in the beginning as a kind of theme that maybe we should really hold on to this now. But I skipped it because I think it also became a matter of actually doing the impossible with the artists. That kind of became the working theme. And it's been amazing how our artists have been adapting and patient and willing to also be with us on this journey, that we have to do it.
And there's definitely a sense, isn't there, in some of the work being presented, that it has been materially transformed by the situation this year. I mean, not least what we're going to see later on this evening at the opening concert, the Brigitte Muntendorf piece, which is being presented in a kind of work in progress state. It was supposed to be a full-on piece. Hopefully it will be also here in the future, but that's one very, very concrete example of something that has had to evolve, you know, almost as the crisis has unfolded the whole year. You want to tell us a bit about what we're going to be seeing at this opening concert and why it's in the form it is in?
Yeah, I mean, the concert as a whole has been taking its shape in close dialogue with the choir and with some of our ideas that we wanted to hold on to. And to start with Brigitte Muntendorf and Stephanie Thiersch's piece, we had then before summer the idea that Brigitte could notate some music and Stephanie could come do some choreography with the choir, do a workshop. We had that idea until maybe 2 weeks ago, when suddenly Germany turned red and they're based in Cologne. Then there was a dialogue about could they come here earlier so they could do the formal quarantine and still do the project, and the answer was no, because they had other obligations. So without saying too much, the piece is on. So how have we made that happen? You can see later, I would say. And then we were fortunate that we had Niels-Henrik Gersheim's piece, Motor, for the for the choir and the ensemble Alegria, which was premiered in 17 in Oslo and received the Nordic Council Music Prize in 18, and is an amazing piece, which is also now on a CD that the choir has just recently released, on par with pieces by Lars Peter Hagen and Arne Nordheim. And 3 years ago, that was really an amazing premiere, and I thought, okay, this piece really deserves to be played again. So we discussed that with the choir, and they coupled it with Ian Martos' world premiere, the trumpet concerto written for Tina Ting-Helset. So the idea for this evening was, on the one hand, to present pieces or projects or the film that we're going to see also relating more or less directly to this entire situation. And then on the other hand, also say, well, we are still a music festival, and we should definitely also show and present pieces, regardless of the situation, you could say, great pieces. So this combination of COVID-related pieces and music in its own great right, that's kind of the idea for the evening.
We've also started the Ultima Context podcast as well, which was certainly something that came out of feeling that there could be a way of presenting stuff digitally, as an addendum to the both the talks and the music program. And you've presented the first four episodes with some very evocative sound portraits of some of the composers and performers who are involved. Do you want to say something about that? It's available, by the way, on any of your podcast apps on the phone. Ultima Podcast. They're very nice, sort of 10 short, 10 or so minute pieces. Very, very digestible, and a nice introduction to some of the personalities involved in the festival. Is that something that you think is going to continue?
I hope so. I mean, it was one of the ways that we chose to develop a digital presence in the wake. I mean, we've had the idea. We probably wouldn't have gotten to it this year if this hadn't happened. So that's at least one positive outcome, you could say, or necessary outcome. But in spring, there was also when all these streams came out of concerts for free, and some came behind a paywall. This discussion on, how can we present the music online in the streaming world? Is it okay to do it for free, or is it actually backlashing the music world that we are preparing the audience that things are free? Should they be behind a paywall? All this, I mean, we looked at that and we're considering, okay, if we should do it, we should do it properly and do it behind a paywall. And that is extremely expensive. So when the option came to do physical concerts, we chose to do that, as I also previously explained, also to get the money where the money for this festival this year belongs, in the pockets of the artists, so we wouldn't spend our budget on fashionable streaming projects and having less concerts as a result of that. But we did have some funding to do digital projects, and one is the podcast, and we have done some of the artistic projects also contain films, like Sandeep's project also, and he can tell more about that. Or the opening speech tonight that we have commissioned by George Lewis, that it is a commission, it's not just a favor, oh, can you, by the way, sit in your living room after dinner and tell us something. It's a piece, you could say. So we've done that also, and these pieces might be, not all of them, but some will definitely be available online afterwards. So that's a kind of strategy that we have tried to develop, and the podcast is in the center of that.
Hmm. Well, let's hear from one of the artists, Arne Marta. Your group, Penguins, has got two separate projects in the festival this year. There's the Music and Health event, which Torbjörn mentioned, which was planned before the pandemic. And then you kind of got this great kind of drive-in or pop-up project, which as far as I understand, came up, in the last few months as a kind of response to the difficulties of dealing with audiences in with the virus around and so on. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the Music and Health concert and why you chose to frame it in that way, and something about the pieces that you're performing?
Yeah, our idea when we started this Music and Health project was actually just to make a concert with pieces that were not just like one and one and one piece, but something that belonged together to become a bigger whole event. And then in the first meeting we had with all the composers, that's Manu Tsangaris and Jesse Marino and Lars Skoglund, we decided that like a good way to start was to have a common topic to work from, and then music and health came up, like just a fun, weird thing that you could put many strange things into. And this was, I don't know, in 1.5 years ago or something. So that's where that came from. It was just really random. And then Corona happened, and suddenly it was very fitting somehow. But the pieces do not relate to this pandemic at all. They're very different. One is inspired by healing, this kind of new age stuff, and also like hymns from the 15th century, churchy stuff, and we have some costumes that are looks a little bit like this ancient plague masks. So that's a little bit related to the pandemic. Manu Tsangaris' piece is more like questions related to health into his like this universe that he often makes with lights and objects and stuff. And then we have Lars Skoglund's piece that is kind of absurd music theater with this band, Pinquins, where we have different issues with practicing so much that we get, belastningsskader, I don't know what it is in English.
Sort of exhaustion, maybe.
Like musicians always often deal with. So, there are different pieces that relate to the same topic. But what we wanted to do to make it, like, to also have an installation by Jesse Marino that you could go into when you're waiting a little bit during the Manu's piece. Like, the pandemic has made us have to change some things and cut a few things because of the audience limitations. One piece was supposed to be in this very, very, very tiny room that we were like counting, like, can we press 20 people into this room? Yes, maybe. And then now, of course, it's not possible. So we had to change a lot of practical things that also, we had to cut a few elements. But still, I hope it's going to be a really fun and,
Was that something that led to thinking up the sort of pop-up concerts that you're putting on? Because you're doing these things with a small selection of short pieces which are played several times for small audiences.
That came out of this the Art Council's special funding for Corona adjusted concert, or how to say. So then we were just like, can we do something for this? And then we thought about this concept, this drive-in concept with commissioning. Originally we wanted to commission 12 short pieces from different composers from Norway and abroad, like very experienced composers and young composers and women and men and Norwegian and not Norwegian, tick all the boxes. And then we got this funding from Arts Council, and then we asked if Ultima wanted to do one more project with Pinquins, and then they, or actually even before the application we talked about this, so that's actually where that came from,
And tell us, I mean, as a as a musician and composer yourself, I mean, in what ways has your, if any, has your kind of working life been affected by Corona? I mean, obviously for many musicians all around the world, concerts have stopped happening. You can't do things in front of an audience. I mean, we all know that. But are there any other notable ways you've found your kind of life as a musician changed in any way? either for the for positive or in positive or negative ways?
Like for everybody, it suddenly just stopped, and suddenly you have all this time, and then for so many years you've just been like catching the next flight, and suddenly, yeah. For me, in the beginning, I thought it was kind of nice to be home and read books and think about things that I wanted to do. But then, after a while, you know, you miss not just working or having stuff to do, but you really miss being on stage with an audience, and you miss the special energy that's between the you and the audience when you play. What you give and what they receive and what comes back. Like, it's not possible to recreate this on the internet. I haven't watched any streaming concerts, and I haven't done any because it's just not the same. Mm. So I would say that's it. Yeah, it was both like a little break, but then you really miss being a performer.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's very refreshing to come back to hearing live acoustic music in a space, for sure. Yeah.
Right now, for this process, it's also been like, if you have we're used to working whatever happens. Like, you have the flu, you have a pneumonia, you have whatever, you go to work, you go to rehearsal, and you go and you play concerts, and you just take some drugs, and it's fine. But now, if you have a little cough, you're not allowed to leave your house. Mm. So several times now, while rehearsing for this project, we had like one of us on Zoom because you had some kind of throat thing. And I think 2/3 of Pinkwins have been taking the test to check, you know? So this is very stressful.
Mm.
Like, suddenly we're all hypochondriacs.
Yeah, there's a lot more at stake in terms of health. Yeah, thanks. And Sandeep Bhagwati, I mean, your whole modus operandi, if you like, very much involves international travel, international collaborations, getting people physically together in a room to work together, doesn't it? I mean, that's also something you must have felt huge reverberations in your own practice as a result of what's happened this year.
Well, yes and no. Like you just described it, you know, composers mostly spend their time sitting in a room. So that didn't change so much. I didn't notice that kind of change. But what changed was the public, the situation in the concert hall. That didn't happen anymore. And for me, strangely enough, it was a time of very high activity, partly because I was suddenly responsible for 3 teenage children alone. My wife was in another country, couldn't come. And so, and they were, you know, not happy with being at home all the time. So that was totally unrelated to music. And in musical terms, I started writing pieces for my friends, because all these friends everywhere were sitting at home, and some of them said, well, what should we learn? But there's no concert anymore. So I devised this strategy of making pieces for musicians alone at home that they could play with their resources at home, and that would have specific tasks that would really work if you are alone with yourself. So that was an interesting thing, and these pieces became played a lot by many of my friends, and then they handed it on to other musicians. So that was quite interesting to then suddenly get a totally new community of people that I hadn't been in contact with engaging. They made videos out of that, and so suddenly it became very busy. But what regards this project here, we had been in discussion, and I'd been here in February, I think, beginning of February. I'd been here visiting all the musicians that we wanted to work with at home. It's a project for, which is in my line of work. You said my work depends on international travel. That's partly true. But the idea of these multi-traditional ensembles is that all these musicians live in the same city, basically. So I have an ensemble in Berlin, one in Montreal, and one in Pune in India. And it's always local musicians who happen to have different traditions, which is normal in our age. And, you know, this thinking of other traditions as being something exotic from far away is not true anymore. It's our neighbor who plays African music, or, you know, so. And I wanted to put this into focus. And so when Torbjörn asked me to not come with my Berlin ensemble, but to meet musicians here, the only person traveling was I. So in that case, it was, in that sense, it was an easy transition to think, okay, so the only person we have to consider is whether I can travel or not. And it went through these phases that Torbjörn has described, or should we cancel it, what should we do? And we did, I made, in this thought of making music for musicians alone, I made a piece for each of the musicians that you should play alone and record alone. And then I would sit in a studio and splice it together, video and sound. So that became kind of our backup piece. We said, okay, so if the concert isn't happening, that can be shown. And now the concert can happen. I could come. I've been here now for 10 days, and I've seen glorious views of Oslo from my little window to the backyard of my apartment that you rented for me, and of the concert. And then after 6 days, I could go to the rehearsal room. So I know the rehearsal room and my little room. That's all of Oslo, and now I'm here. I'm free since yesterday. My test was negative, my second one. So that kind of work now with the musician here was very, very wonderful, because we had met, we had become kind of friends in February, and we wanted to definitely do this. There was, in my mind, there was no question not to do this project, because also of the human element. We had become close to each other musically and in a human way. As I said, I'd visited everybody at home. We had had lunch and dinner together and things. And so we had bonded in ways that I normally don't do with other, you know, if you come to a city and work with an ensemble. And we wanted to continue. And so I was very happy when Torbjörn found a plan how this could happen. It would involve me being away from home for much longer than I had planned. But, you know, I thought that's worth it. And so the pieces themselves have been, in a way, affected, because they are much more focused on the collaboration now. It would have been several workshops, and we would have thought about lots of processes and games and stuff we could make together. And then the idea was that I would at some point sit down and make some pieces. But that was not possible, because we couldn't meet all the time. So we had these 4 or 5 days now, starting from almost scratch and developing an entire evening of music. It's several sections, but it's one entire stream of music for 1 hour we are going to play.
We'll be having a separate talk focused on your piece tomorrow. Yes. If anyone wants to come at Centralen at 5 o'clock, so we'll go into more detail then.
Yeah, exactly.
But can you just tell us about? I mean, what's the status of those other things you've set up, for example, in Pune and Montreal? I mean, are they sort of projects that are in principle still up and running, or
Pune, our percussionist died from COVID. That was a very sad moment. He was a wonderful percussionist and a dear friend, and he did volunteer work for the Indian government, because in slums there's no registration, no one knows how many people live in any apartment, so they recruited volunteers to go from door to door and just check on everybody, and during that work he got infected and died very quickly. So the ensemble there is both energized and in disarray. So it's not a professional ensemble that has constant concerts. It's only active when we come together for workshops, and then we do a concert at the end. So, but they all want to continue because of this sudden tragedy, somehow also much more intensely than before. And in Berlin, the ensemble Extracte, that's working. That we had 8 concerts canceled this year. They're going to be postponed or something, but we had like here in Norway, also the German government gave us subsidies to make new projects. So we're making, we just had a big project at the Berliner Festspiele just a few weeks ago, and now we are doing a kind of video narrative of the ensemble itself, of the histories of all the members of the ensembles and their musics and how they come together. So it's going to be a video project. I think I've seen more video in the last month than I've ever seen, and more video music, and I've sat in more video studios than I've ever been. So that's a decisive change in my work life, from being somebody who imagines sounds to somebody who looks at screens and has to make screen decisions about sound. That's totally new, but you know, we're very privileged in all this to be able to even continue to work like this. As the fate of my friend has shown me very clearly, there was no need for me to go to slums and register people in Germany where I was. So that was, I feel very privileged in this whole situation. It could be much worse for,
sure,
and it is much worse for many people.
Mm. Yeah, well, we're really looking forward to hearing the results tomorrow, your Oslo Musics project, also to the Penguins shows coming up later in the Ultima program. It's all online if you want to check the program. I'm starting to get the questions, Torbjørn. What do you recommend people asking? What should we see in particular? Do you have any events you want to particularly single out that strike you as being important to go and see in the? Obviously, it's all important, but what are you especially looking forward to, or what's if it's just like a triumph that it actually got to happen at all?
Yes. Oh, that's the first answer, yes. Yes. And all of it also, yes. I mean, we have the, what should we say, this situation with extremely limited audience capacity, of course, means that a lot of the projects are sold out. So, and this means, for example, that this stage two at the Opera that normally seats 450 seats 60. So, but this is a situation. So, I mean, in terms of recommendations, if people don't already have tickets, I mean, there are projects like In the End, we have the Arne Nordheim Composers Prize to the Norwegian composer Christine Tryggersen, who's also a clarinetist. And also, this came by chance this year, and it's going to develop into a strategy for the Arne Nordheim Composers Prize, because normally we have a jury, we also have that this year. They have found the winner in May, and then it's been secret up until the festival, where the announcement and the award ceremony has been sort of placed in the concert most fitting. This year we were fortunate at short notice to actually build an entire portrait concert around Christine Tryggersen, and it's worked so wonderfully well with the prize that we're definitely going to continue doing it that way in the future. That's with the Toyen Fiel and Claverie Ensemble, which is also herself a clarinetist, and the B20 Ensemble, and the conductor Halden Schröning, and the pianist Ellen Ygelvik, a full night of Christine's music paired with one piece by one important mentor for her, the German composer Carola Baukolt, who, with whom she studied in Linz and has been a great inspiration, and also the other way around. So, I mean, rounding the festival off, going to as much as possible, and then coming to the last concert is maybe the short answer to a long thinking.
And of course, the whole festival is a product of, there's input from, there's a lot of different people involved, partners and people, volunteers and everything. It's a big production.
Yeah, I mean, one of the wonderful things about working with the festival, also in normal years, is the structure that we have, the collaborative structure with our member institutions. For example, now 18, and we have the Munch Museum join this year, which is great. So we're now 18, and having the structure as the outset in a situation like this is, of course, a very privileged gift. And also the way that our partners have been responding to all these changes and tons of dialogues and ideas of change, which are, you know, for concerts next week, still in process, you could say, which is very challenging, but also in a way, when you open up to that way of working. I mean, one thing is we have to hope that the audience is with us, you know, looking at the webpage one day, and suddenly the next day a concert is the time is maybe shifted 1 hour or something has happened. But I think this year there is an understanding. We won't be continuing this way of working if we can avoid it, of course. But this greatness in the collaborative spirit is also sort of the theme. Freedom social is at least the social aspect is definitely still there, and it's been maybe more in the inner lines in this year reinforced, and that's been great, and I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah, well, that's a great note on which to launch ourselves into Ultima Festival 2020. So we're going to let all of you find a space in the Kanonhallen here in Oslo. And thank you so much to Torbjørn and Arne Marte and Sandeep. And we look forward to catching up again on throughout the festival, I hope. And so here from the Kanonhallen in Oslo, it's goodbye from us.
You've been listening to Ultima Context, a podcast from Ultima Festival of Contemporary Music. The editors are Torbjørn Tønder Hansen, Torun Furland, and Rob Young. Co-produced by Filt Oslo. Jingles composed by Christina Churgesen. For more information on what we do, visit our website at ultima.no.